deepest sin. You may think you've gone too far, and you may think there is no power that can wash away your deepest sin. There is hope for you, my friend. Deepest sin. You may have some hidden sin you've tried to cover deep within, and everybody thinks your life is in control. You can run, but you can't hide. God sees everything inside, but forgiveness waits at the foot of Calvary's cross.
The blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, oh, the blood of Jesus can cleanse your deepest sin. Oh, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, oh, the blood of Jesus can cleanse your deepest sin. It will never
wonderful. Thank you, ladies. It's good to have Mrs. Gonzalez back, even if she is on one leg. I'll give her just a moment. All right. Thank you, Mrs. Gonzalez, for coming up and being a part. For those of you that are new to our church, Mrs. Gonzalez is the wife of our Spanish pastor, Brother Ricky Gonzalez, and it's good to have our ladies trio back. And she's had some major surgery done, and she's on the mend. So you pray for her. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John 4 is where we're going to be this morning. 1 John 4. We're going to read the first four verses. 1 John 4, verses 1 through four. Would you stand with me as we read together this morning? I'm going to read aloud. If you'll follow along with me silently in your Bible, 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse number 1. John says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And I want you to look at verse number 4, and I want you to circle a word, if you would, this morning. It's the word overcome. He says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. You have conquered them. You have subdued them. You have brought them into possession. And realize that false teachers and false doctrines and people who come and say salvation is this way and that way, you've already overcome that. And you've embraced Jesus Christ. He said, you have overcome. And I want to speak to you this morning about an overview of an overcomer. Just a simple overview of an overcomer. Now, Lord, bless the preaching and teaching of the Word of God this morning. We do pray that you'd stir us, Lord, concerning your will. I pray that you'd move in this service. Lord, we shall never assemble like this ever again in eternity. But for today, you've gathered the people that you want here. And I pray that our hearts would be stirred. And Lord, I pray that the Word of God, as it goes forth, would find fertile ground on the hearts of every individual. And we'll give you the glory for the outcome of this service today, for it's in the wonderful name of Jesus I pray. Amen and amen. You know, you read in history about people who faced odds and overcame. They were victorious. You know, I read not too long ago about the life and story of Thomas Edison. You know, Thomas Edison struggled with just being able to spell. He was diagnosed, at least they say he was diagnosed, as having a severe case of dyslexia. Matter of fact, one day Thomas Edison was in school and his teacher sent him home from school and told him these words, "You are too stupid to learn anything." Now that's what his teacher, how would you like to be his teacher? One day when they have to face God, told Thomas Edison, "Go home, you're too stupid to learn anything." Now what I'm saying to you, Thomas Edison overcame. He was able to take the struggles that he faced in life and subdue them and become victorious. And yet he became a famous inventor. Many of you have heard the name Walt Disney. Walt Disney's first shot at a cartoon production company failed. Matter of fact, he went bankrupt until he invented and created Mickey Mouse. You see, he was a failure until Mickey Mouse came along. So there you go. There's the moral of the story right there. Love Mickey Mouse. But may I say to you that Walt Disney had to overcome, and he was able to subdue the circumstances, fight his way out of bankruptcy, and now history is made. Helen Keller was blind, mute, and deaf. Yet she became an author, and by the way, was the first deaf, blind person to ever receive an earned Bachelor of Arts degree. You see, Helen Keller was able to overcome the obstacles. She was able to take what was dealt to her and conquer it and subdue it. I want to say to you today that an overcomer is not one who's perfect. An overcomer is not a person that's sinless. An overcomer neither is without fault or problems in their life. You see, an overcomer is not beyond temptation, nor is he exempt from failure or the judgment of God in his life. An overcomer is someone just like you and I. An overcomer is someone like you and I, but who has chosen to submit themselves to the Bible ways of God for their life. They claim no special powers other than the powers of the Holy Ghost of God that lives within them. You see, an overcomer may be totally victorious in most areas of their life, but they also may find themselves struggling in some areas of their life. You see, an overcomer gets his name not by having the testimony of defeating every opponent and everything in opposition to him. An overcomer rather got his name by choosing Jesus Christ and heaven over hell. That's why an overcomer gets his name. He chose heaven over hell. He chose Jesus over the devil. That's an overcomer. And did you notice our scripture today talked about an overcomer and how the wonderful, exciting things about an overcomer that exists today? And may I say to you that an overcomer that exists in this room is not a person that's perfect. They are not without fault. The only difference between an overcomer and one who has not overcome is Jesus Christ. He said, man, I want to be an overcomer today. You're going to have to trust Jesus then. You're going to have to overcome the world and the wicked one. Well, I want to do just a quick overview for the message this morning. Look in your Bible, if you would, 1 John chapter 5. I want to talk to you about three things about in our overview of an overcomer. First of all, I want to look at an overcomer's greatest choice. The overcomer's greatest choice. 1 John chapter 5, verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. So, the greatest choice that an overcomer has ever made is the choice to choose Jesus Christ. I want to say to you this morning that there's several things that you've got to understand about an overcomer. First of all, he had to overcome his own pride and flesh to trust Jesus Christ. He had to overcome his own pride and flesh. He had to overcome his desire to want to be in total control. He had to control his desire for independence. Because you know what? Christianity was never designed for independence. It was always designed for dependence on God. And he had to overcome his own pride and flesh. He had to overcome his desire for control. He had to overcome his self and that old flesh that doesn't want to be told what to do or how to do it. You see, that's the reason, folks, that there will be a lot of people that will die without Christ and end up in hell, don't realize why they're there. Because they say, listen, I did everything that I thought was the right thing to do. You know, I worked in the secular world for many years in management, and you know what? It wasn't the people that worked for me. They could have done their job, but if they didn't do it like I wanted them to do it, it was unsatisfactory. You see, they weren't to do the job as they thought it needed to be done. They were to do the job as I thought that it needed to be done and how I told them to follow through. And may I say to you, you have the Word of God in your hand today that tells you how to be saved. It tells you who to go through to be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, listen to me, no man cometh unto the Father, Jesus said, but by me. You see, an overcomer's greatest choice, first of all, he had to overcome his own pride and flesh. May I say to you, number two, he had to overcome the devil's lies. He had to overcome the devil's lies. John chapter 8, verse 44 tells us that Satan is a liar and the father of it. He is a liar. He lies. And in order for an overcomer to become an overcomer and put their faith in Christ, not only did they have to overcome pride and flesh, they had to overcome the devil's lies. He said, what's the devil out there lying about, preacher? Well, first of all, they had to overcome what they were hearing from other preachers. I said they had to overcome what they were hearing from other preachers that claimed to be a prophet of God, that claimed to be teaching and preaching the truth. May I say to you, you're looking at one of those overcomers. I had to overcome what I was hearing from other preachers. And if I was today still believed what some of these fellows were telling me, I'd be lost without God. You see, they had to, an overcomer has to overcome Satan's lies and throw out and cast out what other people are saying. Because, you know, some people are saying that you got to keep the Ten Commandments in order to be saved. So how do you know that, preacher? Because I was walking down here last Sunday afternoon at the Super Bowl and heard one guy saying it over the loudspeaker. Down there just preaching away, man. Screaming at the top of his lungs. If you don't keep the Ten Commandments! And that's all he was saying. As people were walking by, screaming, keep the Ten Commandments or you're going to go to hell. I started to, and I didn't. I started to say, question, have you kept the Ten Commandments? But I didn't. I just held my signs up, been a good person. Now what I'm saying is, do you understand, in order for some of those people to overcome and get born again, they were going to have to ignore what some people were saying? Because some people are going to say you've got to keep the Ten Commandments in order to be saved. First of all, the Ten Commandments were never designed for you to keep to be saved. Those Ten Commandments were given nothing more than a law to show you that you need to be saved. That you cannot keep those commandments. Hey, listen, Jesus came to fulfill all of that for me. My faith and trust is in Him because He's kept it all. You see, you have to overcome. An overcomer has to overcome what he hears from other people. Like keeping the Ten Commandments. And there's some of them out there saying that you got to get baptized to be saved. That you can go and just get in a tank of tap water and somebody puts you in and somehow there's something mystic in that tap water and wash all your sins away. Well, my goodness, if that was true, why would I even come to church? I'd just go take a bath. You see, all I'm saying to you is there's some people, overcomers have to overcome some things. They've got to overcome the lies of the devil that getting baptized or church membership or keeping the Ten Commandments has anything to do with being saved. May I say to you that an overcomer also has to overcome people out there that are telling them that they have to live a righteous life, and if you don't, then you lose it. Now, I need to show you this one in the Scriptures, okay? Hebrews chapter 6. Turn there if you would. Hebrews chapter number 6. Turn to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews 6, verse 4. Now, it's important that you keep everything in context here and underline something here, because when he begins in verse number 4, he begins with the words, for it is impossible. Now, that's important, because if you don't get those four words, you're going to mess up on the next two verses. He says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened. Stop. Who is that? That's saved people. He says, what I'm going to tell you now, that what's following here, it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world, right? All right, now, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. I want you to listen. He said it's impossible, folks, once you're saved, to ever be lost. But then for the sake of those who believe that a person can be saved and can be lost, here's what he says. He says, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put Him to an open shame. And look up here real quick. Here's what he said. He says, for it is impossible, first of all, for a person to lose their salvation. But he said it's also impossible that if they did lose it, they could never be saved again. You hear me? He says it because in order for that to happen, that Jesus would have to be crucified again. And he's not, folks. The Scripture said he came once for man. And that's it. So if salvation could be obtained and could be lost, if you ever lose it, you could never be saved again. But isn't it amazing the people who practice this tell you that you can? And that you can be saved again and again and again and again. You say, preacher, what they messed up on? They're messed on up on what we call sonship and fellowship. They cannot separate the two. They think they're one and the same. You see, when you get born again, you move into sonship with God. You move into the family of God. You say, but when I'm in the family of God, what happens if I sin against God? Then you lose fellowship with God. You see, when I was born to my parents, oh, I don't know how long it's been, 30 some odd years, I guess. Come on now. If you was up here, you'd be saying the same thing. I said 30 some odd. Okay? I didn't say 30. But it's been 30 some odd years ago. I was born, you know, when I was born to my parents, I became their son. And do you realize there is not anything I can ever do in the history of the world to ever undo that? Ever! Now, have I disappointed my parents? Yes. Have I disobeyed my parents? Yes. But you know what I lost? Fellowship, not sonship. You say, but what if you took off and didn't want to have anything to do with your parents anymore? Guess what? Still their son. Not a thing they can do to undo that, and neither can I. But what I'm saying is, you know what overcomers are? They have to overcome some things. They have to overcome that old flesh. They have to overcome the lies of the devil. They have to overcome people who are proclaiming this and proclaiming that. They also have to overcome another lie. Not only do they have to overcome what they hear from other people and other preachers, may I say also, they have to overcome a lie of the devil that, hey, you know what? You're not good enough to be saved. You're not good enough. Well, if I read my Bible right, the Scripture says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And when Jesus Christ died over 2,000 years ago, He died for the whole world. Why? Because for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's you and I. You see, there are some people, Satan's going to tell you that, oh, you know what, you can't be saved. You're not good enough. God will not forgive you of all of your sins. You're too bad. And you know, people buy that. They say, well, preacher, you don't understand. I can't be saved. I'm too bad. Well, you know what? There's all of us. You could probably look back on and say, boy, you know what? I've been a bad person. But thank goodness, the criteria to be saved isn't whether you're bad. The criteria to be saved is, do you believe? You see, Satan's going to tell you that you're not good enough. God's not going to forgive your sins, or God is only saving those He wants to be saved. You say, what does that mean, preach? That means there are some out there that will tell you that God's already predetermined who's going to be saved and who's going to be lost. May I say to you today, the only thing that God's predestined is a plan. And that plan is that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the only thing that He's predestined set forth. He's never predestined a soul to heaven or hell. Ever. But people are going to tell you that kind of thing. You know what, overcomer? He's got to overcome some of these things. He's got to get victory over that. He's got to bring it into his possession and realize this is not of God. See, Satan will tell you you're not good enough to be saved. He'll tell you things like God's already determined who's going to be saved, who's going to be lost, and God is only going to save those that He wants to be saved. He'll even throw stuff out there like this. Well, you've done too much bad stuff to be saved. Can I remind you in Luke chapter 23 that there were two others who were crucified with Jesus? There was one on one side a thief, one on the other side, one railed. By the way, let me back up. Did you know, go check me out, they both railed on Him at the beginning. But you know what one did? One had a change of mind. One, oh boy, I hate to say this, but I'm going to say this anyway among independent Baptists, he repented. He changed his mind. He thought, you know what? We're getting what we deserve. This man hasn't done anything wrong. We're getting what we deserve. And you know what? He was right. And matter of fact, if you and I got what we would deserve, we'd go to hell. But here's this thief. One's railing on Him. The other one says, man, look at it. He's not done anything wrong. And he came to his right mind, repented, turned from what he was thinking that somehow this was not the Messiah, that somehow salvation or eternal life had something to do with him. He thought, my goodness, you know, I'm hours from death. I better get right. And so you know what he did? He repented. He changed his mind about
what he believed. And you know what he believed?
He believed that now you are the Son of God.
And he's, you know why I know he knew he believed that? Because he said, Lord. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Now, Jesus, the Son of God, after he heard, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom, he did not reject. By the way, this old boy was in the hours of death.
I'm going to say it again. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, even if it is within hours of their death.
He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Here's an old boy that was within hours of his death. I'm sure that he was fighting while he was on the cross. I'm sure he was fighting with demonic forces on there saying, listen, you've done too much bad. God's not going to save you here at these last hours. He's not going to save you right here at the end of your life. Look what you've done. And yet he said, what do I have to lose? Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Lord responded, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. You know what that thief on the cross became? An overcomer. He overcame all the obstacles, including hours prior to death. And you know what he could have done? He could have done like some of us would have done. We would have thrown the towel in and said, well, this is just the way I am. But he didn't. Can I say something to you this morning? What do you have to lose? He didn't have anything to lose. All he had to do was ask. And when he asked, the response came back, yeah, today you'll be with me in paradise. But may I say, an overcomer, not only do you have to overcome the flesh, not only do you have to overcome the devil, may I say also that an overcomer, to become an overcomer, has to overcome tradition. Some people are going to overcome tradition. You see, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were as traditional religion as you could get. But may I say to you, they were wrong. Tradition was wrong. May I say, just because your family decides to travel the road to destruction doesn't mean you have to. Can I say that just because you may have people that you love dearly that are traveling a road that is away from the cross, away from the blood of Christ, away from the death, burial, and resurrection, doesn't mean that you have to. You can be an overcomer. You're going to have to overcome tradition in order to be an overcomer. So the first thing I look at quickly this morning in my overview of an overcomer, first of all, he's going to have to overcome some things, but in order for an overcomer to become one, he's going to overcome all of these obstacles. Why? Because an overcomer's greatest choice was once he overcame the wicked one, once he overcame the flesh, once he overcame all of these false ideas and overcame tradition, you can get born again then. That's what an overcomer is. But you know what? In my life, I had to overcome a lot of things in order to be saved. And all of these things, boy, were just grabbing at me. But may I say to you, look, if you would, back in 1 John chapter 5. Not only did we look at the overview of the overcomer's greatest choice, but I want to talk to you for a second about the overcomer's greatest weapon. Turn back, if you would, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God, there it is again, overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. What does the last three words of your Bible say? Even our what? The greatest weapon the overcomer has is faith. His greatest choice is Jesus. His greatest weapon's faith. Faith is that substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And yet it is amazing that we're commanded in Scripture to walk by faith and not by sight. And that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. You see, so once an overcomer, he's not perfect, he's not sinless, he's not beyond temptation. It's just that he made a great choice and now he has possession of a great weapon. And that weapon is faith. You see, his faith serves him as a shield. Keep your place there. Go to Ephesians 6 for just a moment. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, look at verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Now, those are great things. But I want you to notice in verse 16 what he said right at the beginning of this verse. He said, above all. Now, folks, listen, we don't have to go to the Greek on this. It just means what he's about to say, you need this more than anything. He said, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of who? Not just the wicked people, but the wicked one. He said, you're going to have the weapon of faith. He said, above all, take it. Why? It's going to be a shield to you. Now, incorporated in that faith, an overcomer's faith incorporates the Word of God. It incorporates the will of God for your life. But may I say also, it incorporates the Holy Ghost of God. Because according to Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22, you know what one of the fruits of the Spirit are? Faith. He produces it in your life and through your life. See, faith is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, then listen now, He teaches, He guides, and He brings all things to our remembrance. You see, that's one of the greatest weapons that the believer, the overcomer has, is faith. It's faith. That faith serves as a shield. It's a fruit of the Spirit. But also, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And that Spirit, the Spirit of God that lives in you, He will teach you, He will guide you in the way of all truth. You see, an overcomer is not anybody special. They just trusted Jesus with the greatest choice. Then they got a hold of the greatest weapon, which is faith. Because without it, it is impossible to please. Did I mention James chapter 4, verse number 7? Do you remember he said that with that shield of faith that you'll be able to withstand the fiery darts of the wicked? James put it this way, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Why are you going to resist him? You better resist him by faith. Because that is your greatest weapon as an overcomer this morning. Well, let me give you the third one. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 21. So in our overview of an overcomer, here's what we've seen so far. First of all, the overcomer's greatest choice. He had to choose to overcome the flesh, the lies of the devil. He had to choose to overcome tradition. But also, the overcomer has a great weapon. That weapon's faith. For without it, it is impossible to please him. And then I'm going to give you one more, Romans chapter 12, verse 21. The Lord, here, Paul writing here says, be not overcome of evil. But look at the last statement. But overcome, be victorious, subdue, but overcome evil with what? With good. Here's the third thing that I see in an overview of an overcomer is the overcomer's greatest challenge. Okay, here's the overcomer's greatest challenge today. You say, what is it, preacher? I want to know what it is. What's his greatest challenge? Here it is, underachieving. That didn't go over well. Let me say that again. I said an overcomer's greatest challenge is underachieving. Do you know God saved you for a purpose? He's given you abilities and talents to serve in the overall plan of God. May I say to you, some of you are underachieving. Now listen, isn't it amazing? We'll go out, we'll go out to a professional baseball game or football game or basketball game, and we'll come away from there and we'll think, man, this team's underachieving. You know what they're saying? What they're saying is this. They're performing below expectations. Now, in other words, they're not doing or performing at a level that they ought to. May I say to you that us as believers this morning, as overcomers, some of us are not living, or we are living below expectations. And you know how God finds out where we're living below expectations? He tests us through testing. And then the lack of us using our God-given abilities. May I say an overcomer must work at staying in fellowship with God. It just doesn't come natural. You got to work at it. You see, like I said earlier, an overcomer is not someone that's perfect. An overcomer is simply someone that's trusted Jesus Christ and has overcome some things in their life. They've overcome some lies of the devil. They've overcome tradition. But you know what? They made a great choice. They have a great weapon. And now their greatest challenge is to fight from underachieving. You see, when that eastern sky splits one day, dear saint of God, there's going to be a lot of underachievers. And I don't know what's going to go through the heart and mind of a bunch of people when they hear the trumpet sound and the voice of the archangel shout, but I have a sneaky suspicion that something's going to strike them in their heart thinking, I didn't do my best. I'll give you an illustration of what I'm talking about. My dad is only 5'6". But he demanded some things. And he demanded from us boys that you do your best. So when we were given a project, and he would give us that project, the thing about it is he would always come and inspect. Oh, by the way, you always inspect what you expect. And he would always give us a project, and he would come inspect it. And we think, boy, look at all this, man. I've done my best. And my dad comes and says, well, look at this. This is not done right. This is not done right. And pretty soon you feel like you're about that tall. You think, man, I thought I did my best. May I say to you that there's a lot of us, when the trumpet sounds, we're going to think, well, I've done my best, until we stand at the judgment seat and God says, well, look at this and look at this, 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 this. We're going to find out that, you know what? Some of us were underachieving. We are not living or performing at the level that God has intended us. Why? You've got to work at staying in fellowship with God. May I say also that you've got to work, an overcomer's got to work at serving the Lord as God commanded him to in Scripture. So not only do you have to work at staying in fellowship, the overcomer has to work at serving the Lord. Hey, it doesn't come natural to the overcomer, the one who's put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. They fight the devil just like anybody else. They fight the flesh just like anybody else. But the overcomer has to fight staying in fellowship. He battles serving the Lord as far as God's commission in Scripture for him to do. May I say, he must also work at saying to others what Christ would have him to say. By the way, an overcomer don't always say the right thing. Things come out of his mouth. Anything ever come out of your mouth, you thought, boy, I wish I hadn't said that. You see, overcomers aren't perfect. Overcomers aren't sinless. They are not beyond temptation. All they are is a person who made a great choice, and that choice was Jesus. They're a person who received a great, great weapon, the weapon of faith. But may I say to you this morning, they also have a great challenge. And that challenge is the same challenge that we all have, and that's underachieving for Jesus Christ. And that's not doing our best. Let me just rip off just a few underachievers real quick and I'm done. You know, I think one of the greatest underachievers in the Old Testament was Lot. Boy, Lot had everything going for him. Man, how would you like to have an uncle by the name of Abraham? I think he'd probably be top five on God's list, wouldn't you? And yet here's a man that underachieved, went to Sodom and just kind of acclimated to the culture and society there. Samson underachieved for God. Lust got him. And matter of fact, he was a Nazirite and violated that vow. I think we could throw Jonah into that pot of underachievers. Jonah, here was God having the opportunity to send him to have the greatest revival on the face of the earth. And instead of going this way, he went that way. And did you notice when you go read the book of Jonah, you'll find out that he went down to Joppa and he went down into the ship. What happens when independence comes and you decide, no, I don't think I'm going to go God's way. You'll always go down. Now, I think to some degree David was an underachiever. His passions got him all the time. You say, why do you think so? Because you know what one of his greatest desires was? To build a house for God. And because of his passions that got a hold of him, he was not allowed to build it. And I think in some areas, I think David would say, you know what, underachieved for God. Now let me say this in conclusion. It's a challenge for overcomers
to stay on topside. It's a challenge. And may I say to you, the Apostle Paul's greatest fear was becoming an underachiever. To becoming someone that would be shipwrecked in his life and that God would be disappointed in. You see, in our overview of an overcomer this morning, the only difference between an overcomer and one who has not is they made a great choice. And that choice is Jesus. And may I say this morning, you can make that same choice to put your faith and trust in Christ. And then when they made that great choice, they got a great weapon. The weapon of faith. To ward off all the fiery darts of the wicked. To live for God by faith. That substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But may I say to you, if you make that great choice, you're going to get that great weapon. But I'm here as a preacher of the gospel to let you know there's still a great challenge ahead of you. And that challenge is to fight every day of your life to keep from being an underachiever. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many this morning in the presence, in my presence this morning would say, preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I'm saved. I've been born into the family of God. You say, I'm not ashamed. I want you to slip your hand way up high. You say, that's me. Not ashamed of it. I've accepted Christ as Savior. I've been born into the family of God. All right, God bless you. You can put your hands down. Now, Father, my prayer is that you'd do something special in this service. I pray, Lord, that the spirit of error would not, that Satan would try to plant in the hearts and minds of people would not be prevalent today. That, Lord, that we would reject that, that we would overcome those thoughts. Lord, you're willing to save anyone who will come to thee. You're willing to save whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. And I pray that you do so today. Now, Father, move as you see fit. You know who's saved and who's not this morning. And those who are not, that today would be the day of their salvation. Now, with heads bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking but me, real quick. If you're seated this morning, you'd say, preacher, I cannot honestly say that I've been born into the family of God. If I died today, I can't honestly say that heaven's my home. I want to go to heaven. Would you pray for me? I'm just not sure of it. But I need prayer. Would you slip your hand up and say, preacher, that's me. I cannot honestly say that heaven is my home. I want to go, but I cannot honestly say that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. If you're like that this morning, slip your hand up, slip it up, slip it up. Say, preacher, that's me. I need prayer. Anybody like that? All right, maybe you're here this morning. You'd say, preacher, I've already been saved, never been baptized. I know it's the right thing to do. I need to be baptized according to the Scriptures. And you'd say, preacher, would you pray for me? I've already been saved. I've been born again. Never been baptized. Slip your hand up. You're like that. Slip it up. Slip it up. Anywhere. Anywhere. All right? God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? We'll join this one. Say, preacher, I've already been saved. Never been baptized. I know it's the right thing to do. I need to obey God. Anybody else? All right? If you're here this morning and you'd say, preacher, I'm already saved. Already been scripturally baptized in a Baptist church. I need a place to serve God. I'm seeking God's will about a church home. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up and say, preacher, that's me. Pray for me. God bless you. Anybody else, you can put your hand down. God bless you. Anybody join these two? Say, preacher, I'm already saved, already been baptized. Scripturally, I need a place to serve God. Would you pray with me about that? Anybody else? All right, one last thing, and that's this. Say, preacher, I'm already saved. I'm an overcomer. I have overcome. But I'm underachieving. You say, I've got to be honest. I'm underachieving for Christ right now. Would you pray for me? Slip your hand right up high. Say, I'm an overcomer. I'm underachieving right now. I'm not doing everything. I know I'm not doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. I'm underachieving. All right? God bless you. You can put your hands down. The Father, you saw all of the hands this morning. Please, please, at this invitation, that uplifted hand would, Lord, would have foot power to come to the altar to make that right, whatever it may be, to make it right with you. And that, Father, these folks that raised their hand and said they were underachieving would make it right and do right and become what you desire them to be for the glory of God. Now, I also pray, Father, this morning for those that raised their hand and said they needed to be saved. And some, I think there were two that raised their hand and said they needed to be baptized. And I pray that they'd come, please, Lord, this may be their last opportunity before they meet the Lord. I pray that they'd come and not meet you unprepared in that particular area. So I pray, Father, you'd have your way in this invitation now. Some need to come and join this church, or at least, Lord, I pray that you'd give them wisdom about what to do about a church home. And we'll certainly give you the glory for all that should be accomplished in this invitation time in Jesus' name. Now, with heads bowed, eyes closed, would you stand with me?
As you stand together, I'm going to ask Brother Shaddix if you'd begin to sing. And if you raised your hand, doesn't matter what reason you raised your hand for, would you come? If you raised your hand and said, "Preacher, I need to be saved," you come. We've got men and women who'd be glad to show you how to be saved. If you raised your hand and said, "Preacher, I need to be baptized," would you come? Please don't leave today. I don't want you to face God without making that area of your life right. If you're here this morning, say, "Preacher, I've already been saved, but I'm underachieving for God. Would you come? Would you come?" Whatever the area of your life that you feel, you say, I'm underachieving. Would you come? Would you come? Whatever that need is, whatever it may be.
And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of
sing it through again. We have people still coming. Listen, folks, I know we had more hands raised. People raise their hands and say, "Preacher, I'm underachieving. I'm underachieving." We need to get back on the winning side of God. We need to get back on that circle.